The One Tough Mother Podcast. The One Tough Mother Show is real talk with special guests, including industry leaders, celebrities, and amazing women who've overcome adversities to work their way to the top and are willing to share their real life lessons. Remember, you don't have to be a mother to be one tough mother. It's all about you.
Hey, welcome to the One Tough Mother Show. Great week this week. A lot of crazy things are happening. I got a lot of awesome letters. Some life lessons from women. Some letters that were just, these women are courageous and brave, and things that have happened in their lives that they're trying to get through and live through. Tough Mother Sherry's with us. Sherry is a therapist. She's going to be a regular part of our show. She's amazing. And we hope to help as many women as we can, because like we say, we are here to help women from themselves. It's not stopping them from doing anything or telling them they should do something. It's trying to help them from themselves, their self-doubt, their loss of confidence, their loss of trust, whatever it could be. So please continue to write. We've got to get our Google number so that you can call, because I guess I screwed up. I don't really know how to do that, so I'm going to have to figure that one out. I'm sure it's extremely easy. And in the meantime, what's news with you, dude?
What's news? I'm just trying to survive.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, so this, you know, this sickness going around, and we're finally sort of getting healthy, and just a lot. And I'm going away for work, and it's tough on Melissa with the baby and three more kids. So just trying to figure things out and get into a groove and make things as smooth as possible.
Yeah, it's always tough. Like being a former military wife and traveling around the world with four little kids on my own, I get it. I totally get it. It's a rough one, especially when she's used to having you there to help pick up some slack, and it sucks when all of a sudden that person's not.
Yeah, luckily it's they're short trips, so.
Are you going to be gone for like a week or?
No, Thursday, leave Thursday morning. I'll be back Sunday early afternoon.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, tell her if she needs anything, I'm here.
Oh, you better be careful what you wish for or ask or say.
Well, just so you know, here's on a side note. So I was talking to someone today who is involved. He's actually a meteorologist. And this is what he told me. He said this coming week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are going to be a blockbuster snowstorm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he used the word blockbuster. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, well, it's kind of forming to be one heck of a storm. So
blockbuster.
Blockbuster. And I was like, whoa. So, you know, I did the old go on the app real quick and look. And I see it says Friday, Saturday, and Sunday snow, but it doesn't say blockbuster.
Well, hopefully I don't get stuck in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a fan of it. Sorry.
Unless
not a fan of Vegas. Huh?
Unless they hit a jackpot or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you shouldn't be stuck either. Then you should come home and share the wealth, dude.
Right.
Yeah, right. In the meantime, we want to welcome our guest, Heather Dominick. She's amazing. Today's guest is a woman who impressively is extremely successful, yet highly spiritual. She's the former high school drama teacher who collaborated with none other than Bette Midler, which we kind of have something in common. I'll tell you about that later. A graduate of NYU, where she received her first coach training, Heather is the winner of the 2015 Best of Manhattan Coaching Award and creator of the 2014 Stevie Award winning virtual event, which is a Course in Business Miracles 21-day discovery series that attracted close to 6,000 official registrants from everywhere, all over the world, Iceland, Nigeria, Russia, Asia, South America, Australia, Europe, you name it, the U.S. It's just incredible. The founder and leader of the highly sensitive entrepreneur movement since 2010, which she looks very young, so that's hard for me to believe. Heather has been published in numerous books, including Stepping Stones to Success, alongside Deepak Chopra, which is so incredible. It's with excitement and extreme anticipation that I say to Heather, welcome to the new year. Welcome to the One Tough Mother Show. And we welcome Heather Dominick.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, Karen. And I'm really, really looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, I am too. I'm just like, first of all, thank you for rearranging your schedule. I was super excited to put you in this time slot because it just works out perfectly for the show. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. So, so happy to be here.
So let's talk about the, first of all, you look extremely young, which is awesome, but let's go back a little bit before we get into what you do and how you do it. I want to go back and let people know who you are, what you're about. Start from the beginning of when you started all of this.
Sure. So happy to. So I have been self-employed for 15 years and just to let you know, I'll be turning 48 in just a little bit. So I'm not that young. Yes, absolutely. And when I entered into being self-employed, I actually left my previous career as a high school drama teacher, which I did for 8 years. And that's when I had the opportunity to collaborate with Bette Midler in the inner city public school that I taught at here in New York City where I live. And so when I entered into being self-employed, I knew nothing. I didn't know anything about being self-employed at all. I didn't even work with a computer on a daily basis because I was in a public school classroom. And so I really had to teach myself so much right from the get-go. And I really was fortunate to really receive some valuable support and training in regards to sales and marketing. And so I built my first business, which was as a nutrition and wellness coach, up to full capacity in about 9 months' time. And then a few years later, I brought my business across the $1 million mark for the first time as well. And that was a very, very stressful experience. And I always like to emphasize that the stress didn't really come from the amount of income that I had generated, but it came from the way that I had gone about it.
Wow.
Yeah, because I found the experience to be so stressful. I was really overwhelmed. I was absolutely overworked. I was definitely overexhausted. And so I absolutely now can look back and say that I definitely dipped into a dark night of the soul. And in that dark night and some very, very deep self-inquiry, because I was really questioning, you know, everything that I was doing, and I just wasn't sure, you know, if this was for me and if this was what it meant to be successful as a person who's self-employed. I'm not really sure I'm cut out for this. And all of that inquiry led me to find Dr. Elaine Aron. And Dr. Elaine Aron is the founding researcher the highly sensitive person, and she began that work in the early 1990s. And when I first discovered Dr. Aron and her work, I had never even heard the term highly sensitive before. Once I understood what it meant, it didn't surprise me so much that I was highly sensitive, but what did surprise me was how highly sensitive I was. And that was a real eye-opener. And because I've always been a believer that your ideal client is a version of you, which is now part of the foundational principle trainings that I teach, I brought one of Dr. Aron's assessments into a group of 25 women entrepreneurs that I was coaching at the time, had them all take the assessment, and lo and behold, of course, they were all highly sensitive. And what was really interesting about that was that not one woman in that room wanted to be highly sensitive.
It's so true.
Oh, yeah, they really saw it as a detriment. They saw it as a weakness. They saw it as a negative label. And that was really the light bulb moment for me. And I thought, okay, something very important is happening here. And I got very, very clear that those of us who are highly sensitive, who are called to be self-employed, We are really, really gifted, really talented at the service-based businesses that we're drawn to. And yet it's so, so absolutely important that we go about marketing, selling, operations in a very, very different way. Otherwise, there are going to be those dark nights of the soul. There's going to be businesses that never get off the ground or go under. And most importantly, callings and purposes, life purposes that are left unfulfilled. And so that was really the beginning of the HSE movement.
And you know, going back, and this show is all about you when we interview you, and thinking back and doing some research on you, your life wasn't, you know, all roses. I mean, you lost your mother at the age of 14, which must have been very difficult, right?
Oh my gosh, my life was so far from roses.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
You're one of those people like myself. We were compelled to be the best at what we want to be the best at. And it's very difficult to stop us regardless of how much people tell us to stop, correct?
Well, I would really agree with that. And, you know, that's why when I refer to highly sensitive entrepreneurs, I always say that being in business as a person who's highly sensitive is 100% a calling, because otherwise, why would we do it? And, you know, I say, why would we do it? Because being self-employed is extremely stressful. It's very anxiety producing, although also extremely rewarding. But for those of us who are called to be self-employed as people who are highly sensitive, again, it truly is a calling. And I can say that is so much of what has defined my experience, has defined my business success, has defined my life, is being willing to follow that pull forward, follow, you know, the energy to grow into something greater. I, you know, definitely did not come from a wealthy family, the exact opposite. I was not raised with a healthy money mindset. Again, exact opposite. As you mentioned, I experienced a lot of loss at an early age, and losing my mother at the age of 14 was absolutely traumatic. And something that I was, you know, and still am, you know, aware of, yet managing, you know, every single day. And what I was going to say is something that was still very, very much in process for me when I started my self-employment journey. But I really believe, again, for those of us who are highly sensitive entrepreneurs, because our business is a calling, it is meant to be a vehicle of healing. And that's one of the things that I share with all of the HSE members in my Business Miracles community all the time, is that those of us who are highly sensitive entrepreneurs are here to offer healing in some form, no matter what our business is. I have members in the Business Miracles community who are real estate brokers, who are insurance brokers, who are dentists, a lot of traditional businesses, and yet all of us are here to provide a healing, and simultaneously, by being willing to step into what is required to be self-employed, our business then therefore becomes our portal for our own healing as well. So it's this really beautiful, you know, circle, you know, if you will.
It sounds, you know, okay, so I'm going to be honest, because I am, which you're going to find out. So I went on your site and I took the quiz, because I'm the most outgoing person you've ever probably met. I've lived 1,000 lives, I tell everybody. When they hear the things I've done in my life, they're like, oh my gosh, you've done so many things. So I thought, I could not possibly be highly sensitive, because I'm just out there. So I took the quiz, and wouldn't you know, I qualified as highly sensitive. And in my mind, I'm thinking, wait a minute, Kara. Like, you're one of the most outgoing people. Like, you never hide your feelings. Like, you're not shy at all. I hate to be alone. hate to be in a room alone. I naturally fall into the role of a mother wherever I've worked. People gravitate to me on the beach, in the grocery store. No matter where I am, my entire life, my kids would be like, why do people come up to you all the time for help and advice? What is it with you? And I used to say, I don't know, it's my face. Maybe I just look trustworthy. But I thought there's no way I could be a highly sensitive entrepreneur. I was wrong. Let's hear a little bit. Tell us what makes us highly sensitive entrepreneurs.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so, so glad you had this experience and so glad that you brought this up, because it really addresses a lot of, you know, the misnomers or misbeliefs about what it means to be highly sensitive, which doesn't necessarily mean that you're an introvert, or it doesn't necessarily mean that you're shy, although it could mean those things as well. But most importantly, according to Dr. Elaine Aron and her research, there are 20% of us who are born into the world highly sensitive. And what that means is that your nervous system is wired differently than someone who is not highly sensitive, and wired differently in a way where basically you take in stimulation at a much higher level than someone who is not. Now, that stimulation can be in any form. It can be any of the senses, right? It might be, you know, that you're really sensitive to sight. You pick up on a lot of details. It might be sound, where high levels of sound impact you on a different level. Same thing with smells, touch, energy, and also information. And so what that means is that you literally are having a different experience interacting with the world than those who are of the other 80%, the non-highly sensitives. And so in my work, what I've done is I've identified what I refer to as 12 top HSE shadows and 12 top HSE strengths. And what that's about is really your relationship with how you are interacting with that nervous system, your nervous system's ability to take on and in stimulation, again, at that higher level. When you don't know how to really work with it, when you don't know how to manage it, that's when you're going to experience those shadows. And one of the top 12 is overwhelm. So those of us who are highly sensitive tend to experience overwhelm to a much greater degree than someone who is not. On the flip side, for when you are in your strengths, one of our top 12 HSE strengths is that we are extremely intuitive. So it really becomes about learning how to manage your highly sensitive nature so that it's working for you rather than against you. And the fact that people just find you and come up to you, that's what I refer to as the stranger incident, where so many of us who are highly sensitive have that exact experience, where we are the person that people will find on the bus, they'll find on the subway, they'll find in the park, they'll find at a party, and they will come up to you and they will tell you their deepest, darkest secrets. And you kind of are left like, wow, why? What just happened there? But because there is this ability for you to take in what is given to you, and others unconsciously can really suss that out. They can tell you're going to receive them. And yet, if you don't know how to manage that, then you can imagine that would absolutely contribute to that experience of that HSE shadow of overwhelm, as I mentioned earlier.
Oh, so, you know, that's so true, because let me tell you what, thank you, Lord, have had a very successful career. I've had a very successful marketing and advertising company that I closed to do One Tough Mother. And when I did, people sat me down like, it was almost like an intervention. Like, are you kidding? You spent 20 some years building this. You're shutting this down to do a show that you may or may not ever, you know, but I needed to do this to get people's stories out, to get storytelling back into the spotlight, so people could connect and people could create and people could heal. But I found that the business side of One Tough Mother is derailed because I am so sensitive to helping other people. I'm always connecting other people. I'm always looking to make connections or help other people. So my business side is derailed. So the process of coping mechanisms with highly sensitive entrepreneurs is so important to me and so important to this show because, hell, Heather, I need it.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you mentioned the coping mechanisms, which are directly connected to those HSE shadows that I mentioned. So again, in my own research and work, I've identified what I refer to as three primary HSE coping mechanisms. And a coping mechanism is really just exactly that. It's how, as a highly sensitive, you have unconsciously learned to cope with this, you know, massive inflow of stimulation. And there's nothing wrong with coping. However, if you are wanting to be a successful entrepreneur and experience HSE financial success, then we really need to learn how to go beyond coping and into the space of creating. So those three coping mechanisms are, you will either tend towards hiding, or you will tend towards pushing, or you will tend towards what I refer to as combo plattering. So the hiding is a little bit of what it sounds like you're describing perhaps is happening for yourself in regards to around the One Tough Mother work. And that is that because there's such an influx of that stimulation and there's a concern or often a worry or even a heightened fear for highly sensitives that they won't be able to handle the flooding of energy, the flooding of emotions, the flooding of information. So the way that they cope with that is they hide from it. Now that doesn't mean that they're not busy or productive, but typically the busyness or the productivity is not income generated connected. It's not connected to income generation. So it might be like a beautiful website. It might be, you know, fabulous programs. It might be, really coming up with, you know, excellent, you know, materials. Or your actual business time during your day is spent taking care of other people. Right. So you might be the person who's like, you need to be taking care of your kids. You need to be taking care of the family at large. You need to be taking care of your parents. You need to be taking care of your neighbors. You need to be taking care of the neighbor's hamster. Anything else where by the end of the day, you're like, oh my gosh, like I've just been so busy. And yet I'm, you know, looking at what has actually occurred for the business and I'm not seeing those results in my bank account. So that's what the coping mechanism of hiding looks like for an HSE. Now the coping mechanism of pushing is what I described in terms of my experience early on in my business before I understood that I was highly sensitive. So again, not knowing that I was highly sensitive, having dealt with a lot of loss and a lot of trauma early on in my life, I learned how to cope with my highly sensitive nature by pushing through. So an HSE who tends towards the coping mechanism of pushing will get done what an 80%er will get done in their business, in their day, in their life. However, it will come at an extreme cost for a highly sensitive that is not a cost for an 80%er. So, you know, an 80%er can be doing all these things and at the end of the day, they're energized, they sleep well, you know, they get up in the morning, they have plenty of time to take care of themselves. And highly sensitive, who's pushing through to match those non-highly sensitive results, will find themselves absolutely burnt out. And it will often come in the cost of health consequences. So it might be a major experience of migraines, a lot of digestive issues is very common for those of us who are highly sensitive. I would give a speaking engagement early on in my business, and this would also happen in my teaching career as well, and I would have to come home and be in the bathtub for like 3 hours to recover, you know, with a washcloth over my eyes. So again, a pusher will get done what needs to get done, but it will come at an extremely high cost to oneself. Now, a combo platter, that HSE will bounce back and forth between pushing and hiding and pushing and hiding and pushing and hiding. And I always say that that is the definition of insanity for an HSE, because you will literally drive yourself crazy. It is a massive experience of gas break, gas break, gas break. And you know that you're exerting a lot of energy, but you are so frustrated because the business is literally going nowhere. So coping, sure. And again, if you want to experience HSE financial success, we have to learn to go beyond coping and into that space of creating.
You know what? All right. So I'm the total insane one, actually, because, you know, and I call it mothering because I was a mother when I was born. I mean, I was literally born a mother. I took care of my brother and sister early on and spent most of my life taking care of them. And then as a result, when I got married at a very young age, I had my first child when I was very, very young, because that was normal to me. The normal thing was to take care of someone. And have ever since. So I'm constantly break, gas, break, gas, break, gas. I put everyone's needs before mine because I want them to be happy. I want them to be healthy. I want them to grow and learn. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't make any money today. It's just an insane, insane situation, because I know when I had my marketing and advertising company, it was extremely successful, but it was very regimented because it was the company. Now that I'm off on my own as this, you know, as an entrepreneur trying to grow my show and get, you know, I have the most amazing guests and the most amazing women coming on to tell their life lessons. I think to myself, what the hell am I doing wrong? So that's it, Heather. Break the cycle for me. Tell me how to break it.
Yes. Well, and I'm so glad you said the word cycle, because coping mechanism is absolutely part of a larger teaching that I've developed, which is the HSE coping cycle. And it is a cycle. And also what I was hearing in the story that you shared is the HSE shadow of people pleasing, which is very, very common for us HSEs, because this is when our ability to be extremely intuitive, extremely empathic. Those are absolutely two of our HSE strengths. But when they're in the shadow side, then we really can so easily slip into that people pleasing, because we can really pick up on what others need. That is our, again, it's one of our strengths. It's one of our abilities, because we're literally picking up on stimulation, on information, on cues, physical cues, energetic cues that others who are not highly sensitive don't pick up on. So, you know, we're the person who, you know, if we're, say, hosting a dinner party, you know, we'll adjust the temperature, we'll dim the lights, you know, we'll adjust everything without anyone saying a word to what the group needs. However, just like you described, when that is happening in an unfocused and unmanaged way, there's so much energy that's exerting in the name of taking care of others that actually has us, or is leaving us, boundaryless. So a big part of breaking the HSE coping cycle is first and foremost just being aware that there is a coping cycle. Right. And I know that can sound like so simple, but really it's absolutely profound, because most of us and most members, you know, most HSEs who come to the Business Miracles community have been operating their entire life like this, 30, 40, 50, 60 years like this. So it takes a due diligence. It takes what I refer to as the three primary elements of success for HSEs, which is community, core practice, and consistency. You need to be held accountable. You need to be able to develop new core practices that support you in, say, for example, your situation, being able to know that you are caring for others while also being able to establish boundaries for yourself. And that takes core practice, and it takes doing those core practices consistently. And one of the primary core practices that I teach, and it's so, so important that it's literally foundational principle training number one in my 6-month mentoring program, which is about energy management. And this is what I refer to as really, you know, being able to start to shift your fear into financial success. So energy management is about using tangible tools that so that you can track your energy, you can track your beliefs, for example, and you can begin to give them due diligent attention so that they literally start to shift. So you can start to begin to change a belief, for example, such as, I have to fully overexert and extend myself in order for others to be taken care of and mothered. You can shift that into something that might be more along the lines of, you know, as I establish boundaries, I am actually mothering those around me and enabling them to take care of themselves versus my having to do all the caretaking for them. But it's a process. However, when you really do engage in the process, then that is when, you know, I'm so blessed to literally see HSEs change right in front of my eyes. It's a massive, massive, gorgeous, beautiful, abundant transformation.
That's so amazing, because one of the things I say all the time, and I know if you're a regular listener or whoever's a regular listener of the show, they'll hear me say it a billion times, life is a process. Mm-hmm. Life is a process. There are decisions and steps and skills and passion and purpose and things that you have to do and go through to get to where you're going to be. So if you deny the process, if you're, let me just tell you, if you're happy working in a factory on a assembly line your entire life, then that's great. You're happy. I love that. I mean, that if you're happy doing it and you feel fulfilled doing it and it's something you get up, you're just one of those people who want to get up at 5 every morning and go to work and be home by 4, and then that's your life. I'm happy for you. I'm thrilled for you. However, I'm the always, and so many women that I've had on this show and so many women that write me, they are the ones that are the, why can't you be normal? I call them the Abby normal people, because we're not happy doing those things. We're not happy with the things that we have been grown, groomed, and led to believe
right.
in a successful life.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. Absolutely. So well said. And I'm very much of the same philosophy. One of the things I share with members in the Business Miracles community all the time is that the process is the goal. And there's also, you know, a deep and lengthened teaching that I share, which is about learning how to identify what is your social self and what is your HSE essential self. And that social self is exactly what you just described as what we have been trained to believe that is who we have to be, versus being willing to go through the process of identifying, you know, what is essential, what is natural, what is genuine for myself as an HSE, and then stepping into the belief that I can actually have a successful business from that place. But because I have lived it and am living it and have mentored so many who are living it, I see day in and day out that the irony is that the more that you step into your HSE essential self, the easier business and financial success becomes for those of us who are highly sensitive. And it looks a lot different than those who are not. And that is the big challenge. And that is where the courage really comes in. You will be so much happier, but you have to be willing to like cross the chasm, if you will, right? Of like, oh my gosh, doing business this way feels so good to me. it looks so different than what the majority of people on the internet are, you know, yelling and screaming in terms of how business has to be, I have to be willing to take that courageous walk. It's absolutely a heroine's journey for sure.
Oh, it's totally exactly what you said, because it takes a lot. It takes a super lot to step out of your comfort zone, but not also to step away from what's traditionally success, traditionally comfortable. Because even in the most difficult of circumstances, sometimes it's the devil you know.
For sure.
Other than facing up and feeling, you know, feeling out what else could happen. And there's a quote that I absolutely love. And I keep it written on my computer. If you're not in over your head, then how do you know how tall you can be?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Because I feel that way. Like, I always have been the one from very young on that's always been in over my head. And people have made that comment to me. Like teachers, like bosses, like, wow, you're in over your head. But if you're not in over your head, how will you ever know how tall you can be?
Love that. Love that.
So I want to hear more about, you have this fabulous, fabulous course called A Course in Business Miracles, and it's mentoring highly sensitive entrepreneurs. How do people find it? How do they get involved in it? And what exactly does it help with?
For sure. So first and foremost, I would recommend that anyone who's listening, if you are having the experience of like, I might be highly sensitive, then I would definitely recommend that you start by taking the quiz just like you did, Karen, and just, you know, finding out for sure. Because when you take that quiz, you will find out if you are somewhat highly sensitive, super highly sensitive, or like me, super uber highly sensitive. And then depending on, you know, where you fall in that quiz, which is really just a self-assessment, but you'll receive a free HSE success guide that will support you in getting started and taking those first steps. And you can find that quiz at hsequiz.com. So again, that's www.hsequiz.com. And that really is a great first place to start. You'll also find that quiz and other information about the mentoring programs at businessmiracles.com.
It's just, you know, it's such a great vehicle for so many people, because we all, you know, it's so funny, because last night I was talking to a member of our team, and Christine is our designer and our art director, and we were discussing, and she's such, Christine and I are very, very good friends, and we talk about a lot of different things, and she's like, it's just, we're like teetering on the edge. It's just going to take one tiny push to rock this over the edge. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying, what is the push? Like, what am I missing? And as an entrepreneur, how many times have you said that to yourself, Heather? How many times? What am I missing? What is there missing that I'm not taking the right step to do, to get better, to make money, to have the business that I dream of?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that's such a great point, because I can definitely identify with that early on in my earlier days of being self-employed. I did really have that experience of like, you know, what am I missing? And what I've come to understand is that, again, that's very, very common for those of us who are highly sensitive, because we have the experience of what I refer to as not enough, of not being enough, not doing enough, not being enough. And what it really is just more of a mismatch that, you know, again, those who are of the 80%, they're going to approach their business much differently. And just because that approach isn't a match for you doesn't mean that you're not enough. It just means that you're meant to do it differently. So now the question that I often ask instead is, what am I meant to learn here? So if something doesn't go the way that I expect it to go in my business, for example, there's a process that I teach that's, I call self-assessment, and I use self-assessment for everything, any aspect of marketing, any aspect of, you know, something that I've created. And if it didn't go the way that I wanted it to, then I go through that assessment process. It's very simple, but it's very profound, and I'll share it with you right now. The first question is, what worked really well here? The second question is, what did not work so well here? And the third is, based on what I now know in regards to what worked and what didn't work, what will I do differently next time? And that assessment, along with that question of what am I meant to learn here, is really what always has me moving forward to the next step and the next step and the next step. And that's also something that's really, really powerful and important for us to know and to remember as HSEs, is that we work best step by step. Now, one of our HSE strengths is that we are visionary. We can absolutely see the big picture, the big vision for others and for ourselves. And yet, regardless of our ability to see where we're meant to go, what we must learn, what we must develop, is also the ability to take the step-by-step path, the step-by-step journey towards that vision. And a tool like self-assessment will have you slowing down, will have you literally assessing and learning so that you can get to the next step and the next step and the next step, and then you're at the vision.
I love it. Oh, Heather, thank you so much. I mean, this is, it's amazing. These tips will help so many. Again, life is a process. You can't rush through it. There's steps to take. There's decisions to be made. And this helps us all slow down and think things through a little bit better and a little bit more complete. Heather, tell them where they can find you. Give them all the information about where you are and how people can get in contact with you.
Yes. Again, so start with hsequiz.com. Take that quiz. And you can also find the quiz at businessmiracles.com, where you'll also find information about the various Business Miracles mentoring programs, a little bit more about me, and hopefully some other tools that will support you as well.
Excellent. Well, Heather, I can't thank you enough. Thank you again for this incredible show and these incredible tips. And thank you for being our second show of the new year. It worked out perfectly.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I so appreciated this conversation. I love everything that you're doing with One Tough Mother. And I'm so happy to be part of the new year energy.
Oh, thank you. And reach out anytime. We're always here. And now you are One Tough Mother. So, you just joined the One Tough Mother Army. So
we love it.
Soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The One Tough Mother Podcast. Real talk with amazing women who have worked their way to the top and want to share their real life lessons with you.
And we're back. And besides the storm that's looming, the blockbuster storm I was told about, we've got headaches and headlines. What's going on, dude?
You know, I was looking at my app and it says like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Ooh.
The most chance, like 54% on Friday, 18% Saturday, then 88% on Sunday. I might be in trouble.
Could be in trouble. You better come back Saturday.
Yeah, well, I can't do that because that's a fight is Saturday.
Oh, geez. All right.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, at least I'm able to go to work and get paid, unlike all these other people who work for the government, like 800,000 of them.
Holy cow.
Yeah. You know, empty desks and unpaid bills as Trump shows no sign of relenting. Paychecks are falling, failing to fatten the bank accounts of some 800,000 federal workers. The pain of this partial shutdown bit into all corners of America, even the White House, where there's often very little sympathy for those whose job it is to keep Washington running. Only 156 of the executive mansion's 359 full-time employees are allowed to report for duty because their work is considered essential, according to government contingency plan. I got to say, this is very childish, the whole thing. I'm not just saying Trump, but just in general. Like, if you have to work something out, you work it out. You don't hold, you know, all these people hostage and take their jobs away because you want to get your way.
That's totally how I feel about it. It is. It's like, no, you're not playing with my G.I. Joe. No. And you're holding everybody hostage.
I was talking to Melissa about this. I think they can sue the government, and I think they would win.
Really?
What reason do you have to close the government other than your whole, like, just to get your, like, there's no reason. I have to be honest with you, Seth.
It's very, very unlikely they would win. Even when you're in the military, they say if you even try to sue the government, it's like, boo.
But, you know, this is a different day and age, the day of public opinion and social media.
True. I guess it could.
Go to the Supreme Court. I mean, they'd be like, okay, wait, there is no reason the government shut down. Oh, okay, let's pay these people.
Yeah. So. It's a tough call. Like, and then you got to think of who's gonna be the brave one that's going to step forward and go, hey, I'm suing the government.
I think they should. Well, at least Trump could be very excited because, like, this is the longest government shutdown ever. The biggest, the longest. So yeah. He must be proud. 800,000 federal employees. Many of the 420,000 employees who deemed essential are working without pay, as well as those furloughed have expressed concern over paying recurring bills such as mortgages, while others say they've learned from past shutdowns and put aside funds. The shutdown has become the longest in U.S. history. It could also break a 99-month job creation streak as furloughed workers are removed from the federal payroll. Just a mess.
It's a mess. Here's my question. Like, you're working with no pay. Do people say yes to that? What is the consequence if you don't go in?
I guess they get fired. I mean, you hope that it's going to end and people value their jobs.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You know, there's a time when I got my salary slashed and I stayed because I was trying to get something else, but I couldn't find something else.
Right.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, I guess, you know, and again, you're right. Maybe they love their jobs. Maybe they really value what they do. So they're like, I'm gonna ride it out. But wow, what enormous stress on your family.
No doubt. Even beer brewers are getting hit by a shutdown. They're feeling the effect. Yeah, in some cases, breweries are sitting on inventory or holding off on production because the arm of the Treasury Department that approves labels and formulations is shuttered. Craft breweries are hit hardest since they drive sales by releasing new beers. Even Sam Adams can't proceed with updated summer ale recipe. And they're kind of get screwed.
Wow.
Yep.
Even here. Beer,
really upsetting America.
Yeah, exactly. Holy shit. I mean, you're not getting, believe me, if the wine country has an issue, I'm driving right to Washington.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's move on. Walmart is hiring tech workers. Super. A retail giant recently reportedly plans to add 2,000 tech experts to its workforce this year in order to bolster the company's online presence, as well as its in-store innovations from robot floor scrubbers to shelf scanners. The company will hire data scientists, software engineers, and designers to work in 9 offices globally. The hiring binge comes as the war between itself and rival Amazon for online and increasingly in-store retail dominance continues to heat up. I have a cousin who just started working for Walmart in the social media department.
Really?
Yeah. Works out of Jersey.
Wow. They don't have a headquarters in New Jersey, do they?
They have something, and he's in Hoboken, so I don't know what it is.
Wow. But, all right, that's cool. And I understand, you know, everybody's chasing the tail of Amazon. That's all I have to say.
What are you going to do?
Right.
Well, this is not my fault, but America faces an uneven baby bust.
Not your family, not my family. That's all I have to say.
It ain't our fault. Well, yours is a generation ahead of mine, your kids. But some 3.85 million babies were born in the U.S., in 2017, the lowest rate since 1987, and we're not having enough new children to sustain our population, the Wall Street Journal reports. Such birth declines may put a strain on future hiring efforts. The trend, however, is not spread evenly across the country, according to the CDC. The Midwest and the Southeast have higher fertility rates than the Northeast and the West Coast. Just 2 states, South Dakota and Utah, are having enough babies to sustain the population. Wow.
Wow.
Well, Northeast and West Coast is so expensive that it's like, you know, people don't want to live in poverty by having more children.
What was the two states that are sustaining us?
South Dakota and Utah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mormons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody get out there and start doing it. Make some kids.
Start popping them out.
Hell in a handbasket.
Yep. Let's catch up now. Come on.
Come on now. Get in there. Okay. Billionaires driving new space race. Around the world, private billionaires and new governments are investing in resources into space exploration because we're crushing this planet, so we might as well look for a new one. Yeah, it even says it here. The ultimate goal is moving the human race off of planet Earth.
Yeah.
We'll call it Earth 2, the sequel. Space has the potential of becoming a multi-trillion-dollar industry, driving funding from Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Richard Branson. The United Arab Emirates will send a spacecraft into orbit Mars in 2021, and India's prime minister plans to send astronauts into space within the next 4 years. Hey, excuse me, Karen?
Yeah?
India's prime minister? Dude, why don't you take care of the people who are living in dirt and poverty in your country before you worry about space?
What about the children that are not being fed?
Right.
And the poor living conditions and the lack of, like, essential things like water.
No, send astronauts.
Yeah.
What a douche. Pardon me. I apologize.
All right.
I'm a little upset. All right. Is the smartphone era ending?
Oh, stop.
Right.
Is that real? Is this Etten? Come on.
No, everybody's carrying tablets now. They stick their head to it. Just a dozen years after iPhone's release, half the globe has a smartphone. Yet, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal, the saturation of smartphones in rich countries, along with increasing prices for the most high-end models and only incremental improvements, have meant plummeting sales of the devices, compounded by increasing concerns about smartphone addiction. Device makers are under pressure to develop the next society-shifting technology, which offers convenience but may or may not reside in our pockets.
Quick question.
Yeah.
First of all, it's only been 12, like a dozen years since the smartphone started.
I remember I was working for Starbucks in Seattle, and people were going, all the techies went out and got the first one. They're all like geeked out.
So a dozen years and half the globe has a smartphone. That is just bizarre to me. Number one, 12 years, blowing my mind. Number two, and number three, you've raised a whole decade of people on a smartphone. What's going to happen if it's not around?
Just have a watch.
There's something, I don't know. I don't get it.
We had chips implanted in our head.
You know what? That's my actual thought. I thought, what are they going to say? You have to be chipped or something?
I'm going to pull my earlobe for call waiting.
You're nuts.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, that's it for Headlines and Headaches this week, brought to you by me.
Brought to you by you. Thank you, Seth. And you're thank welcome. You again. What?
Back to you.
Oh, thank you, Seth. And just so you know, we want to thank again Heather Dominick, highly sensitive entrepreneur. I mean, I took the test. Go to her site, take the test. It's crazy. Seth, take that test. I mean, there's a lot of insight and a lot of things that you can learn from learning about yourself.
And I'm going to take the test, Karen.
Take the test.
Okay.
And today's mother says is certainty of death, small chance of success. What are you waiting for?
Huh?
So here's the gig. It's certain you're going to die. Okay. Certain.
Yeah.
But you have a small chance of success. Like if you try something, if you work hard, if you go for it, what are you waiting for? You waiting to die, or you should be trying. You should try to be successful.
Well, that reminds me of the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh.
There's a line that in that movie, get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true that. Yeah. Well, thank you, dude. Thank you, Heather. Everybody, we have another great show next week, of course. A lot. I'm so stoked, so stoked about all the great people we have coming on. A lot of things are going to be changing. And I swear, next week, I will have figured out the whole Google phone number so you can call in and leave your messages. And Seth and I will play them and we can then respond to them. How's that?
Super duper, Alice Cooper.
Oh, God. Seth, go do something. I don't know what, but have a great night and I will talk to you all next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.